This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. The country of North Korea tends to come and go in the U.S. news cycle. Usually, when it does make an appearance, it's related to its leader, Kim Jong-un, and the latest nuclear tests or other national security concerns. This is because we know so very little about North Korea, and that's because North Korean officials have total control over the media. North Korea officially describes itself as an independent socialist state, but it's run as a totalitarian dictatorship. Life in North Korea has been documented as difficult, and it's prompted many to leave the country for a variety of reasons. Today on The 21st Show, we're revisiting our conversation with Hannah Han, Noah Park, and Harry Kim. They're advocacy fellows for Liberty in North Korea, or LINK. They grew up in North Korea and later defected and are now sharing their stories. We connected with LINK shortly after they visited the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign to speak with students. Also with us for this conversation was Hannah Song, the CEO of LINK, and translating was Chris Song, the Assistant Director of Programs for LINK. Because our conversation today is on tape, we're not taking calls, but you can always let us know what you thought. Email talk@21stshow.org, talk@21stshow.org, or leave a voicemail anytime, day or night, 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121. Okay, here now is our conversation with North Korean defectors Hannah Han, Noah Park, and Harry Kim. I want to begin with Hannah Han. Can you tell us your story of leaving North Korea?
So I grew up in a very ordinary family. And I don't think I really experienced anything that's like those things that are becoming issues about North Korea these days. I grew up in a very normal, ordinary family, and I studied music. I was sent to a performing arts school, and that was until about I was 15 years old. And when I turned 15, that was around the time my mom and I left North Korea. She just told me that we have to go somewhere and told me to accompany her. So we left home. And then later I realized that we actually escaped North Korea, and that's how you got to China.
Why is it that your mom decided to leave, that you and she should leave together?
So when we were in North Korea, we were actually suffering, having a very difficult time financially and also socially. We felt the economic pressure and also the social pressure. And country like North Korea, we didn't have any human rights or freedom. But my parents really tried their best to keep the family together and to support us. But it was really, we felt like we reached the limit. And they couldn't really find the answer, like how they're going to sustain our family well-being in North Korea, and they couldn't really see the future of our family, so that's why they decided to defect.
Thank you for sharing your story. I want to bring Noah Park into the conversation now, and Noah, I want to ask you basically the same question. Why did you leave North Korea, and how did you get out?
So the year I turned 8 years old, my mom divorced my dad, and we had to leave my hometown and move to another city. North Korea is a patriarchal society, so for a single woman to raise a family without the man's help is extremely difficult. So my mom suffered a lot raising me and my older sister, who's 6 years older than me. So we just could not get out of our poverty status. So my sister, older sister, she actually went to China first to make money, but she soon after she got to China, she realized that she could not be safe in China, so eventually made her way to South Korea. And after a year of resettlement, she actually sent for me and my mom, so we also arrived in South Korea as well.
I want to come back and talk more about your story, Noah. Thank you for sharing that. But I also want to ask Harry Kim to share your story of why you left North Korea and how you got out.
So my dad passed away around the time that I was born. So my mom suffered a lot, also raising three children. But I was too young to really know what the North Korean society was about or how the outside world looked like. So I had a pretty ordinary childhood. But my mom, she ended up helping somebody who's from South Korea, and that he was actually sent to North Korea. And then because of the situation involving that that man, the circumstances happened that she had to escape North Korea and flee.
If you're just joining us, we're listening back to our conversation with Hannah Han, Noah Park, and Harry Kim. They're advocacy fellows for Liberty in North Korea, or LINK. They grew up in North Korea, later defected, and are now sharing their stories. We were also joined for this conversation by Hannah Song, the CEO of LINK, and Chris Song, who translated for us and is assistant director of programs at LINK. Hannah Song, the CEO of Liberty in North Korea, I want to bring you into the conversation now, because these are just a few examples. I think we heard some commonalities there about the difficulties of being a woman, a single mother in particular, in North Korea, economic reasons. But what are other reasons that people have for leaving North Korea?
Yeah, we've had the privilege of being able to help over 1,300 North Korean refugees and their families escape and reach freedom, resettling in new countries like South Korea and the United States and starting new lives. The stories really vary. People's reasons for leaving definitely will reflect what Harry, Noah, and Hannah have shared here. Oftentimes for very difficult living situations, circumstances. And if you may recall, there was a pretty severe famine in North Korea in the mid to late 90s, which really has sort of continued this food crisis throughout North Korea over the last few decades. There's a dearth of food, access to food. The proliferation of some sort of grassroots markets in North Korea helped to alleviate some of that. But again, just access to those things, goods, basic things that people need to really survive or even to live well has been inconsistent and difficult sometimes for people to access depending on where they live in North Korea. Other reasons, though, of course, are the fact that North Korea is one of the most closed and oppressed countries in the world today. This is a totalitarian, authoritarian regime. The lack of basic human rights, really, it doesn't exist in this country in the sense that on an everyday level, things like there isn't necessarily freedom of movement. I can't just go to another town or a city or to the capital on my own. Unless I get permission from the government to be able to travel. There isn't freedom of thought. I can't just think what I want about the government, and I certainly can't just express that without the fear of any sort of consequence to me or maybe my family. And so some of these types of very fundamental rights that we enjoy every day here, but probably really take for granted or are not necessarily aware of on a day-to-day basis, are things that many North Korean people don't experience. And so what we have seen and heard is more increasingly over the last decade, 10 to 15 years, are more North Koreans leaving for more broadly political reasons. So in other words, they're looking for freedom. And we have heard some North Korean defectors use that actual word as they've had opportunities to watch smuggled foreign media that's illegal and dangerous for them to see. They've been exposed to what the outside world looks like, what it encompasses. And suddenly they're acutely aware of both their own enforced poverty and questions like, why can't we live like that? Why doesn't our country grow economically? Why do we have to struggle and suffer like that? Begin to really push at some people to want to consider the dangerous escape to leave and to seek a better life. Other reasons are things like people who end up going to China looking for food and money or jobs to send back to North Korea or to just go back and forth. Some of these women may inevitably get caught up in being trafficked. A very high percentage of female North Korean refugees end up being trafficked in China, unfortunately. It's a very difficult situation there, and especially because the Chinese government does not recognize them as refugees, nor do they offer any sort of protection. So they are incredibly vulnerable there. So there are a number of reasons why people choose to leave that really encompass the spectrum from economic to political, seeking freedom, seeking a better life, and really just wanting to be able to leave that country, to leave that place, and to perhaps find a better future for themselves and their families.
You mentioned poverty and famine, and that's a word that I think it's one word that doesn't really do justice to the actual lived experience that people have when they're in these situations. And so I wanted to ask Hannah or Noah or Harry, if you have any personal memories of the famine or you've heard from family. One story that I've remembered, I read in a book years ago about this one individual who was resorting to attempting to eat bark off of a tree because they were so desperately hungry. I wonder if you have any personal or family stories or experiences of the famine.
So Hannah was born after the March of Madness, the famine time. So she was born in 2000. So she didn't really personally experience the famine, but she's heard from her parents and other people around her that the situation was just really, really extremely difficult. They saw people starving to death every single day. And, you know, every morning they would see just corpses on the street. And they were just busy trying to just get rid of the corpses from their town. Nobody was in a situation to help others.
Wow, it sounds very harrowing. I want to ask now about how you settled into your destination after leaving North Korea. And maybe, Noah, I can begin with you. What was it like settling in to trying to start a new life after leaving?
So for me, the life in North Korea meant two things, living in poverty and also living in a divorced family, divorced household. And even though I do have some memories of, you know, playing with my friends and classmates in North Korea, and those are the happy memories, but most of my memories of North Korea are just really, really difficult life. But after I came to South Korea, I think I just became really thankful at the fact that I could start a new life all over again. And I knew that if I just try my best, then I could gain all the opportunities and I can start a new life. So even any kind of difficulties that I may face, it will be less than the difficulty that I had experienced in North Korea. So I just wanted to try everything. I just wanted to just start doing whatever that I wanted to do. And I really tried my best to understand the Korean society and to make friends and also work really hard to get into the university that I wanted.
And how did that go? What did you study at university?
So currently I'm studying political science and also laws. So I experienced both South Korea and North Korea, and I have seen firsthand the importance of the country that you're born in and how that could just determine your entire life. So I got to know the importance of politics and the regime. So as I'm studying political science, I'm also studying the law, and I'm hoping to become an attorney in the future so I could help those who are in a situation where they cannot help themselves, and I want to help them live a better life.
If you're just joining us, we're listening back to our conversation with Hannah Han, Noah Park, and Harry Kim. They're advocacy fellows for Liberty in North Korea, or LINK. They grew up in North Korea, later defected, and are now sharing their stories. We were also joined for this conversation by Hannah Song, the CEO of LINK, and Chris Song, who translated for us and is assistant director of programs at LINK. And Harry, can I ask you your story of how you settled in after you left North Korea? How did you find your new society?
For me, when I first came to South Korea, I was 13 years old. And so I had to go middle school. But for me, it was too much to bear because I was too young and I didn't really plan the escape. I just followed my mom. So I didn't really think that much about leaving my hometown. So that's why I was struggled in middle school because there's a lot of things that I have never seen before. For example, internet, the culture, like K-pop cultures, that is really new for me. So I was scared of other, talk to other friends. And when they ask me about North Korea, it's really, sometimes it's not really bad things for me, but sometimes it feels like they talk to me as like, you're different or you're not same as us. Sometimes it feels like that. So that's why I couldn't really talk to other people when I was middle school. So But then I found my own way, that is hiding myself from the society. For example, I don't really talk to people that I was born in North Korea. So, and, but in high school, I found the people like a friends. I made a friends because I had the time to preparing to live in South Korean society. So that's why the friends gave me the strength to like speak out and, you know, find myself. So now I'm okay with dealing with my identities, but sometimes when I was trying to find a job, I'd rather not to say that I'm North Korean because, you know, workplace, still there's a lot of stereotypes towards North Korean people. Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you for answering that. Hannah Han, I wanted to ask you the same question. Did you experience what we would call culture shock leaving North Korea?
저도 이제 앞에서 얘기한 것과 비슷하게.
So it's similar to what I mentioned before. When I came to South Korea, just everything was different, even the language that they spoke or just just the way they spoke and the culture. And when I entered high school in South Korea, it was just really difficult for me to find a common grounds with the classmates. They would talk about, high schoolers usually talk about celebrities or the current issues, current affairs, but I had no idea who they were talking about or what they were talking about. And because of those differences, it was really difficult for me to also make friends.
All right, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, the rest of our conversation with North Korean defectors Hannah Han, Noah Park, and Harry Kim. They're advocacy fellows for the group Liberty in North Korea. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us. This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. For the rest of our program today, the conclusion of our conversation with Hannah Han, Noah Park, and Harry Kim. They are advocacy fellows with the group Liberty in North Korea, or LINK. They grew up in North Korea and defected and are now sharing their stories. We also spoke with Hannah Song, the CEO of LINK, and had help translating from Chris Song, the Assistant Director of Programs at LINK. Because we're on tape, we're not taking calls, but let us know what you thought. Leave a voicemail at 217-300-2121 or email talk@21stshow.org. Okay, here now, Hannah Han, Noah Park, and Harry Kim for the conclusion of our conversation on North Korea. Hannah Song, I want to ask you, the American narrative on North Korea is primarily driven by the country's leadership's nuclear ambitions. What do Americans need to understand about the people of North Korea and their culture?
I really appreciate that question. And I think that's even the very reason why Hannah, Harry, and Noah are here and part of our program, the Advocacy Fellows Program. I think for most of the world, frankly, not just here in America, the narrative around North Korea is so politicized and securitized. It's primarily dominated by stories and current events happenings around Kim Jong-un, the Kim regime, nuclear weapons. But so often, as you mentioned, the stories of 25 million North Korean people are completely absent from those narratives. I think when you hear stories and you have a chance to hear from incredibly resilient and inspiring young people like Harry, Hannah, and Noah, and other North Koreans, I think it just helps in some way to just very simply humanize this issue, to remind people that this is not just a regime that threatens the world with its nuclear weapons, but there are millions of people who live in that country that are just like us, and they have the same kinds of hopes and dreams for themselves and for their families. And one of the things I've always been struck by is just how unbelievably just creative and resilient and innovative North Korean people are because of the types of challenges that they have to overcome, both from living inside of that country in order to survive, to escape, and then to be able to really begin this whole new life where they begin. You know, other North Koreans who have escaped and resettled have characterized that like getting in a time machine and fast forwarding like 50, 60 years. The amount of catch up they have to do, the amount of things they have to unlearn from the propaganda and the indoctrination in North Korea, and just all of these things that they have to adjust to and learn in order to really be able to grow and thrive in their new lives is really extraordinary. And so when you meet North Korean people and you hear their stories, I'm always just reminded of how incredibly just resilient they are. And the other thing on that point is North and South Korea really used to be one country. And when you look at how South Korea has thrived into just this economic powerhouse, and you look at what it has accomplished as a country, as its people, the type of technology and innovation that's come from there, again, it's a staunch reminder that the Korean people were one, they are one, and they have the same potential. The difference really is the government, and the North Korean government chooses to absolutely stifle the potential of 25 million people for decades. So when you really think about all of that lost potential in that country, I think that's also something that we don't really think about often, but is really truly a tragedy.
Noah or Harry or Hannah, whoever wants to answer, what perspectives have you encountered from Americans on your travels here in the United States?
For me, I studied in Minnesota this year for a semester for exchange student. So I kind of have experienced about like American culture a little bit. So in my perspective, especially in Minnesota, people think North Korea is kind of, they pursue like kind of terrorism or something. So I feel like I'm kind of like considered as a terrorist, like because I'm North Korea. So yeah, and they always like talk about like Kim Jong-un and the nuclear weapon, and they think North Koreans are dangerous, and yeah, this kind of like perspective like made me thinking to this kind of advocacy fellowship so that I can change the narrative of North Korean people. So yeah.
Oh, that's terrible. I'm sorry that you've encountered that attitude here. Noah or Hannah, what misperceptions have you encountered from Americans on this fellowship?
I actually haven't felt that while I've been traveling since I came here. So I actually felt very thankful. People in the U.S., they probably have no relations or nothing to do with North Korea, but I feel like they're very interested and they were very supportive of the North Korean people. And I think it's inevitable. What they're exposed to is what they see in the media, and that's how the North Korea is portrayed in the media. So as they are listening to our stories, stories of North Korean people, I hope that their perceptions will change, but I haven't felt the misconceptions, wrong perspectives or prejudice perspectives that Americans have so far.
And I wonder, Hannah, our former president, Donald Trump, visited North Korea and was the first sitting American president to do so. I wonder what you thought about that visit.
So I know that it's pretty rare for the North Korean, the Kim regime to be meeting with any outside presidents or leaders of other countries. I think it was a very good progress that was made, even though it will be gradual, it will be slow. I think the effort itself was really great.
And Harry, I believe you said you were studying law and political science. I wonder, and you studied in America, in Minnesota, for a semester. I wonder what you think about the American political system, our system of government, as people are campaigning for votes this year. We have an election coming up.
So for me, I was so interested by the political system of United States because so mostly I studied politics or law in South Korea. So I kind of used to learning South Korean political system, but I found out that United States is kind of different because of the way they vote and then the election system. So, and of course there's a federal law and so these kind of things are very new. So I'm also like planning to study law in United States in the future. So, and I will like learn more about the politics in the United States. But the semester was too short to learn all about the politics. So, but in my opinion, so in United States, every election, sometimes like Republican, conservative parties or Democratic Party, I guess. So it's just natural in United States, but in my opinion, it affects on the North Korean system because every time it changes, this kind of conversation between United States and North Korea is also changed. So it's really hard to maintain the conversation for the future. As you know, like Donald Trump, he visited in North Korea and they had a conversation about the, but as you know, South Korea also changed the president. So everything is just stopped at some point. So for me, it's really hopeless and I really want them to maintain the conversation. But to be honest, like, yeah, it's really hard to see these kind of circumstances because of the political party. It's really hard to, you know, manage everything. Yeah.
No, that's great. Thank you. For Harry and Noah and Hannah, we've been having a very serious conversation about important topics, and I know it can be difficult to travel abroad for such a long time. You miss the food you're used to and the language you're used to speaking. But I wonder, is there something joyful or fun about your time in America that you'll be bringing back with you in the rest of your life that's going to stay with you, whether it's a food or a song or something else?
Of course, I feel bad because I told about America in this conversation, I told in a negative way, but of course, rather than in negative ways, there's a lot of positive perspective of America because I have a lot of friends who are born in United States, Americans, and everyone from different kind of countries. So I really respect the cultures. For example, I think Americans are very humble, and every time I see people on the street, they always say hi to me first. So in South Korea, this kind of culture is different. So, and then, you know, holding the doors for the next people is really, for me, it's really kind. And I really appreciate this kind of culture that I can actually experience. And of course, you can experience anything in America. There's a lot of cultures. There's a Korean town Japanese town, Chinatown, Cambodian, you can experience anything in America. So I think it's really amazing. I will definitely want to work here in the future. And yeah, I really wanted to learn more about the people and culture. Of course, for me, it's politics. Yeah. And I really enjoying the life in America right now.
I want to thank Hannah Han, Noah Park, and Harry Kim, who are all advocacy fellows for liberty in North Korea, as well as Chris Song, who translated for us today. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing your perspectives with us.
Thank you so much.
And Hannah Song, the CEO of Liberty in North Korea, I want to end by asking you about how Americans interested in helping people who might be interested in leaving North Korea, what can they do to contribute to that cause?
Right now, it's been very difficult for people to even leave the country, to be able to escape or even to move in sort of this modern day underground railroad where many thousands of North Korean refugees have been able to do so over the last decade plus. But the best thing that people can do, and frankly, the easiest thing they can do, is to really just to be an ally to the North Korean people. And what that means is just really starting by changing the narrative on this issue in your own communities. If you heard Harry, Hannah, and Noah's story today, going out and just sharing that with your friends, sharing this interview with them, reading more stories, and really being somebody that can help to advocate and push for more of a focus on North Korean people and their stories. If people are interested in learning more about the work we're doing or a specific type of organization on this issue, we would be more than happy to push people in the right direction to get them more involved. And so you can learn more about some of the really small and easy things that you can do to be involved, to share these stories, to donate and support, or to get involved in a number of other ways, including volunteering for different programs. So they can check us out on our website at libertyinnorthkorea.org, or can also find us on all of the different social media platforms.
Hannah Song is CEO of Liberty in North Korea. Thank you for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you so much for having us.
And that was our conversation with North Korean defectors Hannah Han, Noah Park, and Harry Kim, also Hannah Song and Chris Song, all part of LINK, Liberty in North Korea. And that's all the time we have for our show today. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our interns are Owen Henderson, Anaya Jones, and Zainab Qureshi. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.